You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
This is East Carolina Hall of Famer and Utah Jazz first-round draft pick Blue Edwards. You're listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective, your home for the best East Carolina hoops coverage.
What's going on, Pirate Nation? Welcome in to Pirate Basketball Overtime on The Sports Objective. A little Sunday afternoon matinee, you know, if you will, and taking a look at East Carolina hoops setback on Saturday afternoon when the Pirates fell to the SMU Mustangs. Definitely one of the top teams in the American, in my opinion, talented enough to maybe to push Memphis and FAU and some of the other teams at the top of this league as the season wears on, and we shall see. But to take a look back at that one, as well as a look ahead, I'm joined by Matt Semenza. Matt, how are you?
Bubba, doing great, buddy. Obviously a tough game yesterday, and you know, we've talked about before that the margin of error for this team is so small. And to beat a team like SMU, we're going to have to play a really great game, and just unfortunately yesterday just came up short in too many areas against a very good team.
Yeah, SMU 11-5, I think 2-1 now in the American, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll talk more about the league as a whole as the show goes on, and also, you know, that depth concern, especially when you have someone like Quentin Dibunjie, who's capable of, you know, knocking down three or four threes and having a game like he did down in Boca against Florida Atlantic when he put up 13 points and then went down with that ankle injury. He's been in that walking boot for the last, you know, probably week and a half or so now. And fingers crossed, maybe he can be back on Wednesday against North Texas or at the very least on next weekend. But taking a look at this one, I mean, the Mustangs essentially led wire to wire. East Carolina held a 2-0 advantage there in the first minute or two of the game. But, you know, from, you know, about the 17:50 mark on of the first half, it was all Mustangs, you know, as far as having that lead. And you know, as the first half went on, I mean, the Pirates, after falling behind by 8, we sliced the deficit down to 2, but then SMU, they started knocking down some threes. The Pirates had some live ball turnovers. It's kind of a perfect storm for SMU to have a 13-2 run that pushed their lead out to, I want to say, 13 at 33-20 there, probably 12 or 13 minutes into the half. And the Pirates were able to trim it down to 9 at the break. But then right after halftime, SMU was scorching hot from deep and knocked down several three-pointers and pushed their lead out to 18.
Yeah, they sure were. I mean, they shot very well. And there were several times in the game where we were able to, you know, to get within striking distance, get it to 6 points, 8 points. But it seemed like every time we did, they were just so dynamic from behind the perimeter. They would just hit one or two threes and get the lead back up to double digits, and we just couldn't recover. So, you know, Bubba, I think a lot of that stuff is, listen, as Mike Schwartz said after the game, they are a very good team. They're long. I mean, they have so much length. They really give you problems defensively. But when they shoot like that, it's going to be very tough to beat them. And, you know, so they can beat you on their own, but you know, in addition, unfortunately, we had so many self-inflicted wounds in that game. In particular, the offensive rebounding in the first half, our inability to box out and keep them off the glass was a huge factor. And you know, some of that stuff is a little misleading when you look at the box score, because on a few of those offensive rebounds, they were taking deep threes that clanked off the rim, and it turns into a long rebound. So you're in position, but it's a long rebound. Can't do much about those. But in other situations, it was just simply a case of, you know, at being out of position and not being fundamentally sound. And you just can't do that against a really good team. And I think that, to me, Bubba, when I watched, you know, now that we're, you know, however many games we are into the season, 15 games, that seems to be the biggest issue with this team, is keeping teams off the offensive glass.
Yeah, Coach Schwartz, that's one of the very first things he mentioned in his post-game press conference, those 9 offensive rebounds that SMU was able to pull down in the first half. He also referenced our inability in the first half to take care of the basketball in those victories against Tulsa and Temple. The Pirates had just 9 and 10 turnovers respectively. But yesterday in the first half, when SMU was really able to kind of build that double-digit margin fairly quickly, when the Pirates had those 7 turnovers, many of which I already referenced were live ball turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. And those self-inflicted wounds are just – it's going to be tough to beat a team of that caliber when you do those things. And so, you know, it's the turnovers, the rebounding, and obviously the three-point shooting, Bubba. And I know you're going to get into the stats, but, you know, we were 2-for-17 from behind the arc, and that's just not going to get it done. And, you know, again, you got to give some credit to SMU because they made things really challenging for us on the perimeter, especially with Brandon Johnson. I mean, they were not going to let him get a clean look from three. And he really didn't the entire game. And I think Mike Schwartz and his staff, they did the right thing. You know, when somebody's really heavying up on the perimeter, you try to pump the ball down low, and they did that successfully with Ezra. But, you know, 2-for-17 is just not going to get it done. You're going to have to find a way to make some threes.
Yeah, you kind of read my mind. That's where I was going next as far as Brandon Johnson's game yesterday. Brandon's been so consistent for East Carolina this year. Yesterday was just the second game that he has not scored in double figures. His previous season low was 9. Yesterday he only had 5 points. And his first field goal against SMU yesterday came with – it was a putback with just 3.5 minutes left to go in the game.
Yeah, yeah, just obviously a really tough day for him. But, you know, like Mike Schwartz said, give SMU credit. I mean, they did what they had to do. And, you know, I think now that that's on film, you know, I think other teams are going to try to replicate that. They're going to try to get up on him on the perimeter. So it's up to East Carolina now to make some adjustments. And maybe in that situation, maybe you put him down in the post a little bit more and try to spread the floor from there. But, you know, I think, like I said, now that that's on film, I think that's going to be the game plan, is to really make sure he doesn't get clean looks from behind the arc.
You talk about that small margin for error. You know, when you're without a Quentin Abuja, who has that ability to get hot and, you know, score points in spurts, like we already referenced, he did against Florida Atlantic the last time he played, and, you know, earlier this year in a game against a little bit lesser competition, he had 27 points, and, you know, something like that. You know, when you take away a Brandon Johnson, you know, Brandon's been so consistent, you know, he's going to have an off night. I mean, there's just the second time all year that he's failed to score double figures, which is amazing. And here we are, I guess now, what, 17 games in? And so.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And really just such a tough break for Dibunje, man. I mean, I hate it for him because he did some things against FAU that we've been kind of waiting on. You know, he played very aggressively in that game. He was attacking the basket. He was aggressive. You know, he wasn't hesitant at all. And it's unfortunate that that was the game he tweaks the ankle, because it really looked like the light went on for him. And to your point, Bubba, I mean, without his scoring off the bench, you really start to look very thin offensively without that extra bench scoring. And it really bit us last night, you know, in a lot of ways. And Against a team like that, you really need his athleticism.
Speaking of bench scoring, there's essentially been no bench scoring for East Carolina outside of that game against Florida Atlantic, where the Pirates, I think, did produce about 20 points off the bench. But those other four games out of the last five, the Pirates have scored five or less bench points in each of those, including just a combined 12 bench points in the last three games.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done. That's just not going to get it done. It just, you know, it's just not a good recipe. And you know, with this team, like I, you know, we've said it a few times, the margin for error is so thin because defensively, you know, on most nights, our defense is going to keep us in the game. It's going to keep us within striking distance. It's really a more of an issue with offense. Can we score enough points against these good teams? And obviously last night, we couldn't get that done. And, you know, it really put Mike Schwartz in a bind because, you know, his ability, he was trying to mix and match offense and defensive possessions, and he had to take Pettiford out a lot, play LeCount more for, like, his defensive presence. And it really put a strain on, you know, what he was trying to do. He, you know, obviously we are a man-to-man team, but he was forced to go into a zone there in the second half. And within a few minutes, they shot us right out of that zone. So, you know, you just have to try to find a way to get stops and then get more offense.
One guy who was able to get it done had at least a season high and perhaps a career high yesterday, and that was Ezra Asar. Ezra, 25 points, 8 rebounds.
Yeah, he was awesome yesterday, Bubba. I mean, he was really good. He played strong down low. His free throw shooting is improving. You know, he gets to the line so often. So if he can become an excellent free throw shooter, he's going to be a real weapon. But, yeah, really nice strategy. I mean, again, if you're going to heavy up on the perimeter against us and try to take away Brandon Johnson, that leaves you to force the ball down low to Ezra. And allow him to operate in the paint. And that's what he did. Really nice job out of him. You know, I think he had, 25 points yesterday? So good performance there.
Yeah, I think his previous high had been 24. I believe that came against USC Upstate. But Coach Schwartz referenced that, and exactly what you just said in the post-game press conference, and that was with them taking away the perimeter. He said they do a tremendous job of defending, and we'll talk more about SMU and everything they present. You know, just Johnny Gardner and I were talking about this earlier this afternoon as far as, you know, how they're positionless and they have length at every position and really can cause some problems in a variety of ways, and with how they defend you, and then also with the challenges that prevents offensively when you're defending them. But
yeah, no doubt.
And we'll go ahead and we mentioned what Ezra Asar did, 25 points, 8 rebounds. We'll take a look at the other individual numbers and a little bit more about Ezra's line. Ezra was 9 out of 12 from the floor in 38 minutes. You had two other Pirates in double figures, RJ Felton, 15 points and 6 rebounds on the surface. That doesn't sound like a bad afternoon at all, but RJ just 5 out of 19 from the floor in 32 minutes. Pretty crazy there. I would imagine that's a season high and probably a career high with 19 shot attempts for RJ Felton. You had Kim Hayes, the other night on overtime following the victory at Temple. I talked about how hopefully Kim Hayes would build on that performance in which he knocked down 3 trifectas in 5 attempts, and he was able to do just that in 23 minutes yesterday against SMU, 12 points, 5 out of 7 from the floor, 2 out of 3 from beyond the arc, another solid outing for Kim. You had Bobby Pettiford in 21 minutes, just 3 shot attempts. He made one of those. 2 points and 3 rebounds and just 1 assist for Bobby Pettiford. And we talked about essentially no production from the bench. The good news is Jaden Walker played 25 minutes. The bad news is just 2 points from Jaden. He did Nice job pulling down 7 rebounds. And then you had Caleb LeCount. His 3 points came in the final minute and a half of the game. So, you know, the Pirates essentially, you know, had 2 bench points, if you want to look at it that way, when the game was in doubt. But great to see Jaden Walker play substantial minutes for the first time in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And like some of the things that jump out at me when you look at those statistics, I mean, you look at Felton, if you could just leave those up there for a minute, 5 for 19, you know, but it's not like he was taking bad shots. I mean, those are shots he normally takes every game. But again, when you're 6'4", and he's Felton is a freakish athlete. I mean, he can jump out of the gym, but when you're 6'4" and you're being defended by a guy who's 6'8" and can also jump out of the gym, it's tough to get those shots off. And that's what you saw yesterday. He just couldn't get a clean look. And then Pettiford, 21 minutes, only 3 field goal attempts. You know, same for him. He struggled with their length to even get shots off. So, like, to me, that was the story of the game. SMU just makes things so tough defensively. But you look at what we did. I mean, again, this East Carolina team is outstanding defensively. I mean, you give up 75 points to SMU. That's not a bad day defensively. That's very solid. I mean, you look at, like, Memphis today. They just put up 112 on Wichita. I don't even know if that game's over yet. But the issue with this team continues to be, can we score down the stretch? Do we have enough offensive prowess to beat these really good teams? And, you know, it's not quite there yet.
And to your point, yes, the Shockers were defeated by the Memphis Tigers 112-86 today, and that one was at Wichita. So, no, Wichita State does not have one of their better teams. They're in a year of transition with a new regime, but still, you know, I'm gonna have to dive into the record books and see the last time they got beat by 26 at home.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's way too many points to give up when you're at home. So, definitely something to look out for when we play Wichita later in the season. But, you know, one more thing, Bub, and I'm sure you're going to mention this, is the free throw shooting for East Carolina. 16 of 25 last night at 64%. You know, conversely, SMU, 92%. Again, that's just not going to get it done against a really good team. You're going to have to knock down free throws at a higher percentage than that.
Yeah, and while we're at it, since you brought that up, we'll go ahead and run through those team numbers. SMU, 43.5% from the floor, 27 out of 62. East Carolina also had 62 shot attempts. The Pirates made 23 of those for 37.1%. Field goal percentage, ECU, as Matt already referenced, compared to 9 made threes for SMU, ECU just had 2. So the Pirates were outscored by 21 points from the 3-point line, which is very significant, obviously. And that's something that Coach Schwartz also referenced in his postgame remarks, that 27-6 scoring margin from 3-point range. And then you had SMU 12 out of 13 from the line, ECU just 16 out of 25. So we got there a lot, didn't have our best night. Not, you know, if you make 2 or 3 more, then that's not bad. You know, they're in the mid 70s, but 64% isn't going to get it done, especially against an opponent the caliber of SMU. The Mustangs 40-37 on the boards. And like you said, these numbers can be misleading. You heard Coach Schwartz reference what an issue it was. 9 out of those 14 offensive rebounds for SMU came in the first half. For the game, ECU out-rebounded the Mustangs 17-14, which was very surprising to me. And I'd say that, you know, we did continue to get after it there in the second half. And as Coach Schwartz mentioned, following the game, do our best to kind of use that since we weren't having our best night shooting. get on the glass and get some putback opportunities to slice that 18-point deficit down to a working margin where you had the opportunity to have a realistic chance at a comeback in the final 5-6 minutes of the game. And you got it down to 9 or 10 on a couple of occasions, but weren't able to get it any closer. Then also a number that was not surprising. SMU shared the basketball very well, oftentimes passing up a good shot for a great shot, making that extra pass. SMU 16 assists compared to just 6 for the Pirates.
Yeah, absolutely. When you know, when your assists are that low, that means you weren't able to effectively move the ball. You know, your ball movement wasn't there, and it was just an issue all night. I think, you know, you referenced Mike Schwartz after the game, his post game comments. I mean, he everything that we're saying, he saw the same thing, and he's all over it. And you know, I thought he did a really good job trying to do some different things last night. In particular on defense, he really tried to give a variety of looks going from man to zone and then back to man. But, just a little overwhelmed at times by their athleticism. The stat that surprises me there, though, Bubba, more than any, is when you look at points in the paint. You know, if you had watched that game, you would not have – expected to see that, you know, East Carolina having a 10-point difference in points in the paint. So that's definitely a more positive stat there.
Yeah, 36 points in the paint for the Pirates compared to just 26 for SMU. And the Mustangs obviously more than made up for that discrepancy with their 9 3-pointers that they made on the afternoon. And then each team had 12 turnovers. 7 of those for the Pirates came in the first half, many of which led to fast break opportunities for SMU. And then another number I found interesting, a ton of block shots in this one, 13 combined, 8 for SMU, 5 for East Carolina. And that, again, you know, speaks to the length and athleticism of the Mustangs.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Bubba, what were your thoughts? I mean, if you look down the stretch, the last several minutes of the game, Mike Schwartz elected to go with LeCount and Walker over Hayes and Pettiford. And I think, in my opinion, he was just trying to get the best defensive team on the floor there. But again, it's a challenge because now you're taking two of your better offensive players off the floor. But I thought LeCount handled himself really well defensively in that game. What were your thoughts on that, just kind of going down the stretch?
Wasn't surprised to see Jaden Walker with the increased minutes. I was a little surprised to see LeCount as opposed to Pettiford. And without going back and looking at the box score, I'm trying to see here if as far as the foul situation. Yeah, Bobby Pettiford finished the game with 2 fouls, so it's not like it was a situation playing Caleb over Bobby due to foul trouble or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes it so tough. I mean, LeCount, he brings that defensive intensity, but offensively and with his size, it's just so tough for him to get a clean look. So I don't know what you can possibly do about that. Also, you know, I'd really like to see Malanga start to get some more minutes. Just moving forward, just on a regular basis, because he brings some size. He brings that factor, and I think he can help us more down low. I'm a little surprised he's not getting more of a run. What do you think?
I agree, but I'm trying to remember if it was after yesterday's game or one of the pregame press conferences here recently. But in the last few days, Coach Schwartz referenced just that Sear and the other guys that aren't getting minutes right now, that he just was simply not comfortable with them playing for whatever reason. I don't know if it's practice habits or just failure to execute in practice, but hopefully that will be able to change moving forward. And I do know he was complimentary of Callum Richard in the few minutes that he was able to give us up in Philly at Temple, because he was coming off of what, about a 3-4 week stretch where he hadn't played in a game, but he said he was pleasantly surprised with the way he was able to contribute those few minutes of action he received.
Yeah, I think both of those bigs, those young bigs, have a chance. I mean, Callum Richard's pretty sturdy defensively. I think he's got a good head for the game. And then Sear brings, I think, a little more of like an athletic presence. But, you know, I just like the idea of getting those guys more minutes, because you're going to just come into games where you need bigs on the floor. And when you're pulling, you know, I think, you know, another factor for this team is when your best shooter is your five, you know, Brandon Johnson spends most of his time on the perimeter. That takes away one of your bigs from offensive rebounding. So just something to look for, you know, moving forward. But, you know, hopefully those guys can, you know, start to get more minutes.
Yeah, with SMU being so potent offensively, and we talked about their versatility and being able to play positionless basketball, so to speak, and with Sear Malanga, you know, not being as developed offensively, I can definitely see why he didn't get minutes yesterday from a matchup standpoint. But wanted to go to some of our comments here on YouTube and Facebook. I have several folks: Justin Butts, Johnny Gardner, Johnny Robertson, William Landon chiming in. Let's start off with Johnny Gardner. And Johnny, going back to the rebounding issues that we discussed, and Coach Schwartz really emphasized during yesterday's post game. Johnny said, we were prepared for the long caroms against Temple. They shoot a lot of threes. Was part of the game plan. Need to be able to make adjustments on the fly, in his opinion.
What's up, Johnny? Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. And, you know, you could see there were so many long rebounds yesterday that they had off of missed threes. It's a real problem for this team. And you could tell Mike Schwartz was visibly upset in the press conference after the game just because of that. If nothing else, he was visibly upset about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think Johnny makes a great point. And, you know, you have to clean it up. You have to find a way to get in front of your man and get a box, especially against that length.
William Landon referenced what we discussed just a little bit earlier, as far as the essentially no bench production the Pirates have received in the last five games. ECU, William has received five or fewer bench points in four out of the last five games. That exception was against Florida Atlantic. The Pirates had about 20, maybe 22 points off the bench against the Owls, but essentially nothing in four out of the last five games. And then Johnny Robertson said he was surprised with LeCount's minutes as well, but the Pirates were plus four when he was on the floor. And after digging the early deficit, that we actually outscored SMU, and that this is the first game under Mike Schwartz where no Pirate had more than one assist.
Yeah, really good points by William. And, you know, obviously there. But, you know, again, I think Pettiford was not able to get into the paint at all. And, you know, when you can't get into the paint, you have nobody to kick it out to. I think they did a really good job of just keeping everything based on the perimeter there for our guards, and just couldn't get anything going. Couldn't get any ball movement, couldn't get any assists. So really good points there.
And very quickly on the scoring for SMU, the Mustangs, like I mentioned earlier, shot 43.5% from the floor, 9 out of 26 from three. But individually, they had three guys in double figures, led by the talented guard, Zurich Phelps. He had 17 points, 4 out of 6 from the floor, 2 out of 4 from 3. And then you had Harris. Harris had 14 and 8, also knocked down a couple threes. And then Smith came off the bench, finished with 10 points and 3 rebounds to lead SMU. And then Let's go ahead and take a look around the American at some of the other results from yesterday as well as today. We referenced that 112-86 win that Memphis had out at Wichita State. But before we do that, wanted to take a moment to plug one of our new sponsors, and that is Ed Watkins Marine. Really appreciate Big Ed's support of the show. I know, Matt, you played with Ed back in the 90s under Coach Logan there in the mid-90s. And Big Ed, quite the character. You know, so much success in NASCAR. Got out of that here in the last 2 or 3 years. But really appreciate Big Ed supporting the show. And you know, when you take a look at Ed Watkins Marine, they have two locations to serve you. They're located in Denver and Cornelius, North Carolina, which is, of course, the greater Charlotte area of our state. He has fishing boats, pleasure boats, pontoon boats, center consoles, family-friendly bow riders, trailers, engines, UTVs, you name it. He has all the brands you're seeking. C-Pro, Suncatcher pontoons and tritunes, Stingray, Yamaha, Suzuki, Mercury, Vexus bass boats, Explorer skiffs, and more. So give Big Ed a call. You can reach him at his Denver location, 704-483-BOAT, or at his Cornelius store, 704-498-4985. Again, the Cornelius store, 704-498-4985. And, you know, whether you're looking for a new boat or to repower your existing boat, Ed Watkins Marine can help you meet your boating needs. Excuse me, visit him online at edwatkinsmarine.com. And we appreciate Big Ed's support of the show.
Yeah, we certainly do. Really happy to see Big Ed contributing and being a sponsor for the show. You know, he's a great guy. I mean, Ed was a great teammate. Obviously, a lot of success in his life with his NASCAR career. Now, obviously, with Ed Watkins Marine, great guy. Ed is definitely a true pirate. I mean, he loves the East Carolina Pirates and, you know, really happy to have Ed as a sponsor moving forward. So. This is great.
Yep. And again, edwatkinsmarine.com. Give Big Ed a call for all of your boating needs. Now, taking a look at the American scoreboard, going back to Saturday, in addition to the Pirates and Mustangs, you had the Charlotte 49ers, and they took down UTSA. The 49ers improving to 9-7, 3-1 in the American, right there at the top of the league standings with Memphis and FAU. The 49ers 66, the Roadrunners 58. That game was in San Antonio. The 49ers were led by Jackson. He had 17 points, and UTSA was led by Ivy Curry, their talented guard, who finished with 20 points. Next up for the Pirates is, of course, North Texas, the Eagles, a.k.a. the Mean Green. North Texas blew out Temple last night out in Denton. They defeated the Owls 69-51, led by 10 at halftime, and then rolled to that 18-point victory over the struggling Temple Owls. And now North Texas remains undefeated in league play, like the Memphis Tigers, who improved to 4-0 today. The Mean Green is 3-0 as they look to keep pace with Memphis.
Yeah, Bubba, and that really highlights that, you know, when you look at this league, there's so much balance and so many good teams. You have to, if you're East Carolina, you're going to have to bring it every night. And you're going to have to, obviously the strength of this team is defense. You're going to really have to lean on that. You need to make sure your defense is on point. And, you know, that's first and foremost. But, you know, what's going to come down, I really think there's going to be probably 6 or 7 games here in the second half of the season that when you look back, they're going to come down to free throw shooting. Can this team knock down free throws? You know, can they do enough offensively just to keep pace? Because I think these games are going to be very close. The defense is going to give us a chance, but we're going to have to do the little things to actually win these games. And there's no reason why we can't. This team is very talented. And, you know, we have some pretty dynamic players on this team. we just need to score points.
Yeah, that's going to be the question, whether the Pirates are, especially without Quentin Ebunche, as we've said ad nauseum throughout this show, you know, no margin for error, so you can't, as crazy it is to say, you know, have a game where Brandon Johnson scores 5 points. Fortunately, yesterday you did have Cam Hayes continue to play well and shoot the ball well, because had that not been the case, it could have really turned ugly.
Yeah, it was good to see Cam Hayes get going a little bit. You know, it's been a tough adjustment for him, clearly, coming in the middle of the season. That's really hard to do in basketball because it's such a rhythm sport. And, you know, you could tell he was really struggling with his confidence there. And so you've seen the last few games he's been able to knock down some threes. Hopefully that'll bring him out of it a little bit, because we're going to need his scoring down the stretch. So good to see him get going. I think right now for him, it's just more of a confidence thing where, you know, he didn't play for a long time. So he's trying to find his way and get into his rhythm. And I think he'll be all right.
I talk about how the 13th ranked Memphis Tigers are 4-0 now in the American, atop the league standings, 15-2 overall. Heck of a year thus far. And we'll see how they finish it off in the second half and in the NCAA tournament for Penny Hardaway and the Tigers. Right now, you have Tulsa and Tulane doing battle out in Tulsa. The Green Wave and Golden Hurricane are knotted at 19, 9 minutes into that one. And then earlier this afternoon, you had 24th ranked Florida Atlantic. The 13-4 Owls improved to 3-1 in the American with an 86-73 win over 10-6, 2-1 UAB, and that one was taking place down in Boca. So you had Davis, I believe it's John L. Davis, the very talented guard for Florida Atlantic, finished with 30 and 8 rebounds in that one to lead the Owls.
The team can beat in so many different ways. Really, really talented offensive team. And then they obviously have the big man, the 7-footer, who gives you a lot of challenges down low. So they're starting to really come together here at the midpoint, Bubba. And then Memphis, obviously, you just watch them play. So talented. Obviously, Penny's done a great job recruiting there. So they can beat in a lot of different ways. And it's really a pretty stacked league.
It is. Very competitive. And even the teams at the bottom of the standings, such as a UTSA or a Tulsa, you know, we've seen Memphis struggle to beat both of those teams, winning by one possession at the FedEx Forum, I believe, in each instance against Tulsa on the last second three, and then UTSA needed overtime to beat the Roadrunners. I believe that was Wednesday night. So that speaks to the league's depth, and it's going to be interesting to see how things play out. You certainly think that it will probably be either Memphis or FAU, and then maybe even you can have a program like North Texas, who's had so much success in recent years, sneak in there. And I wouldn't count Tulane out either. I know they're 1-2 right now, but the Green Wave, we'll see if they can play up to their potential. And they definitely had the ability to score very well with that lineup that Ron Hunter's assembled.
Oh, no doubt about it. They can light it up. I mean, you have the teams you just mentioned there, FAU, Memphis, SMU, Tulane. I mean, these are really good teams. So, but hey, this is what I love about college basketball, Bubba. Is that this is what makes college basketball so great. If you bring your A game, if you're prepared to play, if you shoot the ball well, you know, you can beat anybody on a given night. And, I just hope that, the Pirates can find some offense here down the stretch. But, I mean, you see it all the time. You know, you saw UCF the other night, big home victory against Kansas. You know, nobody would have predicted that. You know, so you see it all around the country. And how about this? The dynamic guard, Mikey Williams, Bubba, who had committed to Penny Hardaway out of high school, was committed to Memphis, went through, he was arrested last year. I don't remember what the story was, but he just entered his name into the portal and then committed to UCF. So big week for the Knights down there in Orlando.
I knew you'd
obviously in the Big 12 now, but still worth mentioning.
Oh, definitely. Because it involves obviously an American team in Memphis and him leaving that program. I had seen that he'd entered the portal, did not know that he had landed with UCF. But we have probably another 3 to 5 minutes remaining on the show. So, you know, get your comments in as we'll be wrapping it up shortly. Before we do so, let's take a look ahead at what the Pirates have this upcoming week. You have first Wednesday night, 7 o'clock tip off on ESPN Plus against North Texas. Would have to go back and check to see if these programs have met down through the years. I want to say they have, but it's been an awfully long time. We'll be interesting to see what the record book says there. But the Pirates 9-8, 2-2 in the American, taking on 10-5, 3-0 North Texas. And a little about the Eagles, who were probably more frequently referred to as the Mean Green. North Texas is led by Aaron Scott, Jason Edwards, C.J. Nolan, and Reuben Jones. Those four guys, you know, take roughly 70 to 75% of their shots. Aaron Scott, he's a 6'7" junior, averaging 12 points and 6 rebounds. Then you have Jason Edwards, who actually leads the team, nearly 17 a game. He's made 38 threes, shooting a little over 38%. So he shot a high volume, 99 three-point attempts, and has converted on 38 of those for the 6-foot Jason Edwards, a sophomore. And in last night against Temple, he knocked down 3 trifectas and had 16 points in that 18-point win over the Owls. C.J. Nolan, he's an Oklahoma transfer, a 6'4 junior, averaging 9 a game. He's shooting it at a 41% clip from 3, but just 39 attempts. So he's only attempting about 2 or 3 trifectas each time out. And one of the themes throughout this North Texas roster is transfers, you know, whether it's a guy that's been in the program or they're in their first year there in Denton. You have another guy to contend with is Oklahoma State and TCU transfer Rondell Walker. Most recently, he was at TCU during last season, played in 30 games for the Horned Frogs, just starting 5. And then the previous 2 seasons, he had played in nearly 60 games for Oklahoma State, averaging 8-3 and then 5 and 2.5 for the Cowboys in those 2 seasons while starting 15 games. And they also have another transfer guard who started 30 games for UTSA a year ago. So interesting there, you know.
Portal.
Yeah. I mean, portal. And then you have a guy from UTSA transferring in-state and, as it turns out, you know, within conference to North Texas, and John Buggs III, a 6'2 guard who had started his career at UMass prior to transferring to UTSA.
Yeah, I mean, you just see like the instant impact that these teams around the country are getting from the portal. And I'm telling you, this might not be a popular opinion. At East Carolina, 80% of my recruiting would be in the portal. I might bring in at most 2 high school players a year, but I think it's easier to recruit than ever. And that might be against what a lot of people think, but the way this portal is now, you can go out and find good players right away that are developed, that have some experience, And, you know, Johnny Gardner, that's what it's all about, Matt. Easiest sport to make some noise. We just need to push through it. Yeah, no doubt about it. But, man, this portal is – it's given teams around the country an opportunity to elevate their game right away.
And another portal piece on this one in the low post is making his presence known for UNT, and that is Robert Allen, the 6'9", 225-pound senior forward. He began his career at Samford, and during his time with the Bulldogs, 10-8 as a true freshman, and then 14-7, and then – and he's a six-year guy. I guess COVID and perhaps an injury or maybe but very interesting. He's a six-year guy, 2 years at Samford, 3 years at Ole Miss during his time with the Rebels. Certainly made a significant impact as well. And I believe
so he's like your standard – he's like your standard BYU football player. He's like 30 years old with kids. Yeah, I get it. You're seeing more and more of that.
And now with the Mean Green, he's averaging 6 points and 8 rebounds per game. So, yeah, very interesting lineup. And this is a program that's used to having a whole lot of success as they were in the NIT a season ago. And I have to go back and check. I think that they made Johnny Gardner. I know obviously you had the name Johnny Hoops for a reason. And with that being the case, remind me of exactly the damage they did in the NIT last year. I think they had some success. But, you know, while we're waiting on Johnny or anyone else to chime in before we wrap things up, definitely follow us on social media. We're available, you know, pretty much on all social media platforms. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. When you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you know, be sure to click that notification bell. When you click the notification bell, be sure to click all. That way, anytime we go live or upload new content, you're alerted on your device. And also, we're available on Facebook, as many of you are viewing there right now. On Facebook, like and follow. And then on X, it's at TheSportsOBJ. And then TikTok and Instagram, we can be found at The Sports Objective. So like, follow, comment, subscribe on all of those platforms, and we would greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Bubba, I know we have a minute or two here left. Shifting gears for just briefly here, did you have a chance to watch the Kansas City-Miami football playoff game last night, which was about negative 24 degrees with the wind chill factor?
Yeah, I saw probably about probably 5 to 10 game minutes of that one. Had to tune in for at least a little. I was at my sister-in-law's 40th birthday party. You know, we had the TV on, so that's the reason I wasn't a little more locked into that one. But definitely had to check it out some with the -3 or colder temperatures, and then the real feel being down there in the mid -20s, and pretty crazy. And I know you and I were talking about that. I said, and you made the comment about how fun it would be to play in those conditions. I said I would have certainly had sleeves on there.
I was just about to ask you, would you be a sleeve guy or a guy that rolls out with a t-shirt?
Yeah, definitely a sleeve guy. I don't have much body fat for insulation and warmth there. And it was funny on social media, hats off to Clip Brock for this. You know, he kind of reached out to different generations and different positions and sides of the ball, because he talked to Jack Powers, who obviously was a linebacker for the Pirates this year. Then he also talked to Jason Nichols, you know, who we've had on the program, that did an excellent job breaking down the action this year for Pirate Radio.
He sure did, yeah.
Looking to get back into coaching. But Jay Nick said, he said, Clip, he said, Mama didn't raise no fool. He said, I'd have on 2 pairs of sleeves.
Jay Nick did do a really good job this year. You know, that I'll tell you, man, Patrick Mahomes' helmet cracked in half last night. That had to have something to do with the cold weather. I don't think I've ever seen a helmet actually crack in half. I don't know if you caught that part of it. I think it happened.
I did not. I would think that you're correct. That probably had something to do with the weather, undoubtedly. But no, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, I mean, you can go back and watch it on YouTube highlights. But he took a little hit to the front, right on top of his face mask, and a huge chunk of the helmet flew off, and the helmet actually cracked in half. And they didn't catch it for probably three or four more plays. Eventually, the official stepped in and made sure that they brought out a replacement helmet for him. And then the helmet didn't quite fit, and he was going back and forth with helmets for a while. But, man, I just wanted to bring it up because I'm not a huge NFL fan by any stretch, but there's something about the cold weather games when it snows or when it's freezing like that that I love to watch. And it's just true gladiator sports. So I enjoyed it. Obviously, the guys from Miami weren't able to handle it as well as Kansas City, but fun game to watch.
And Johnny Gardner, as I knew he would, comes through with the info concerning last year's NIT that not only did you have North Texas, but you had UAB, two programs new to the American. They did battle squaring off in that NIT final following the 22-23 season.
We got Johnny and Johnny. The two Johnnies always come through with some good stats, man. Yeah. Johnny Gardner and Johnny Robertson. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Johnny Stats, Johnny Robertson is, as he's known with Pirate Radio, Johnny Stats, and then Johnny Gardner, Johnny Hoops, if you will, here on the program. But, you know, Matt, before we get out of here, do you have anything else?
No, you know, man, I think there might've been one more. Was there another comment there from Frankie? I'm not sure.
Frankie said, need more bigs. He said, need a seven-footer that's aggressive at the basket.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Frankie. Obviously hard to find at East Carolina, but, you know, just got to keep, in my opinion, working the portal and maybe one of those guys will present themselves, but yeah, we could use one bad.
If you're watching us,
yeah, live, I was gonna say, Bubba, that's it. That's all I had. Hopefully, we can get a win against North Texas.
Yeah, appreciate that, William. Great show, fellas. Always enjoy y'all's insight. Appreciate you tuning in and chiming in as you always do, as well as you know several others throughout the show. And if you're watching us live right now, be sure to tune in tonight, and we'll be talking about the Pirates' success in the transfer portal, picking up a few new portal pieces over the weekend. And I will talk about the previous portal additions in the first portal period there in December. And then we'll take a look at what the Pirates were able to add this weekend as they added a couple pieces on the defensive side of the ball and potentially more with some unnecessary help along the offensive line.
Can't wait to talk about that. I mean, this is really exciting, the caliber of player we're bringing in, and a lot to talk about with that.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly what the Pirate program needed coming off such a disappointing 2-10 season where it was just the same old most weeks where you had excellent defense and horrendous offense. But we know that's going to be different this year. That whatever the case, we'll see how much improvement the Pirates make. But I will not be surprised if it can be a fairly significant improvement, and it will need to be in order for the Pirates to have the season that we all want them to have, going from a 2-win team to hopefully, a 8-9 or more. And who knows? Maybe we can have the season that Tulane had a couple years ago where the Tulane Green Wave went from 2 wins to 12 wins. And you can only imagine what Greenville, North Carolina would be like in Pirate Nation if that were to happen.
Oh, no doubt about it. And, you know, hey, we had a defense in place already. So it's not like it's completely out of the cards to go win 7 or 8 games next year if the players, in particular the quarterback, pans out where I should say quarterbacks pan out and be the players we think they can be. But, you know, it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I think, you know, we're going to have a lot more players to add to even after spring ball. So we're going to have a lot to talk about on that show.
We definitely will. Well, that would do it for this edition of Pirate Basketball Overtime. Again, appreciate the support of Ed Watkins Marine, our newest sponsor here on the show, the title sponsor of Absolute Empowerment, with former East Carolina strength and conditioning coach Jeff Connors. I know Coach Connors greatly appreciates the support of his former student athlete, Ed Watkins, and what Ed Watkins Marine will do for the program throughout 2024. Yes, it may be mid-January now, but before you know it, as we know, the North Carolina weather here in the next 2 to 3 months, it will be warm enough for people to get out on the water and then you can do some fishing. And so give Ed Watkins Marine a call, 704-483-BOAT at their Denver store, or 704-498-4985 at their Cornelius location, and they can meet all of your boating needs. But for Matt Semenza, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to Pirate Basketball Overtime here on the Sports Objective. Again, SMU defeated East Carolina on Saturday afternoon, 75-64. And we'll talk to you soon here on the Sports Objective. As always, go Pirates.
Purple!